Zion Elul, Tuesday the 13th of August, Rabbi Yitzchok Feigenbaum. This generation is very observant, but is it religious?
That's right. First of all, Ashkoyach, there's no such thing as this program in the United States and in Canada. It's such a wonderful idea. Schutz HaRabim should stand by all those that are arranging it and organizing it. David should Ben Shemamish would call me with the Meta. It's Elul, so we have to speak about something about Rosh Hashanah. It's Elul, you have to have Rosh Hashanah on your head. So here's our question. Okay, everybody knows how all Shiurim work. You ask a question, then you digress, you tell a story, you ask another kasha, you tell a story, right? And then you hope that by the time the Shiur is over, people forgot the original question because you never really answered it yet. Mirza Shem, we are actually going to try to end the Shiur by answering the question that we're going to start with. And our opening question is like this. Rosh Hashanah is coming up. Chazal tell us that besides everything else that happened on Rosh Hashanah, Chazal tell us that Yosef got out of prison on Rosh Hashanah. As they state in Chazal, Yosef, he was in the boar, the Sarmashkim, Saraifim, they forgot about him, right? Paro had his dreams. Finally, says, right here, they get him out of the pit, and he stands up in front of Paro, and he ends up going from a prisoner to being viceroy of Mitzrayim. When did that happen? Rosh Hashanah, that's what Chazal tell us. Question is, why did the Eibishter arrange it such that punt on Rosh Hashanah, that's when Yosef got out of prison? Things don't happen stop. That's happened to work out. Things don't happen to work out. Eibishter for the veld. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what lesson, what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to teach us by arranging history such that punt Rosh Hashanah, Yosef should get out of prison? You're not that impressed with that question, I hear. Sometimes there's questions where the question's very impressive. Sometimes there's questions where the answer's impressive. Stick with me by 1 minute to nine. Hopefully you'll be impressed with the answer. Let's change our subject completely. This entire concept of this shiur came to me because of the following Maisa Shohaya. I'm the menahel of Beis Yaakov High School in Toronto. There's three Beis Yaakov High Schools in Toronto. I'm the menahel of one of the Beis Yaakov High Schools, the first Beis Yaakov. A girl walks into my office, she's, I don't know, maybe 15 or something, and she says, "My second mom, you know what?" I said, "What?" She says, "You know what? I wish I would have been alive in the time of the Holocaust, of Churban Europa. I wish I would have lived then." I said, "What is the matter with you? How do you be alive then? People were dying, being killed, were starving. Why would you have been alive? Why would you want to live then?" She said, "Oh, I would have been alive in the time of the Holocaust. I would have snuck into a kitchen and stolen a potato and carved out a Hanukkah candle. I would have run into the woods and joined the partisans and saved people. I would have been a hero. They would have written a book about me. I would have gone on speaking tours. I would be a somebody. Now, what am I? I'm a good girl. I go to Beis Yaakov. I'm going to have a good seminary. My father's going to buy me a good tzedach. I'm going to have good children who are going to go to good Beis Yaakovs and go to good seminaries. I'll buy them good tzedachs. And then I'm going to die. And that's it. I'll never be a hero." You know what the secret is, Rabbi Sai? So she's a 15-year-old girl who thinks, "I was shkoyach. And us. You know what she doesn't know? She doesn't know that all adults struggle with the same thing. Another day, another daf, it's shikam stucka, it's shkayach. Pesach Krohn's ever going to tell a story about anybody in this room? You're going to appear in one of the books around the Maggid's table, touched by a story, a chvesvos. Who's going to appear in a book? When are you going to be a story? Yeah, fine, you have a little money, so you'll buy a ticket at the next Yom HaShas, a little closer up front. Shkoyach, there'll always be somebody a little closer. Where are we going to be a hero? And that's today's generation. Rashi tells us, Pasuk says, Yitzchak and Rivka are davening, they have no children. Each one's davening in their own corner, say, Chazal, Shteit and Pasuk, Vayaser lo Yashem, Fatar Yivka Yishto. Eibishter listens to his tefillah, Vayaser lo Yashem, and Rivka becomes pregnant. Says Rashi on the spot, quoting the Medrash, Vayaser lo Yashem, lo Yivalei lo. Eibishter listened to Yitzchak's tefillah, not Rivka's tefillah. Thus happens, why Yitzchak's tefillah? What was it better than Rivka's tefillah? Says Rashi, quoting the Medrash, you can't compare tefillah Tzadik ben Tzadik to tefillah Tzadik ben Russia. Yitzchak, the son of Avram and Sarah, Tzadik ben Tzadik, his tefillah gets accepted. Rivka, Tzadik Bas Rasha, love him. Suel, Eina Daima. I ask you, Eina Daima. Yitzchak, Tzadik Ben Tzadik, is better. Rivka, Tzadik Bas Rasha. it would appear that Chazal never saw any of the Eishet Torah-inspired videos. They didn't read any of the books. I don't get it. Yitzchak Avinu grew up to be a tzaddik. His father was Avraham, his mother was Sarah. What was he struggling with? What was difficult for him? He went to find the yeshiva, he didn't have a problem getting accepted anywhere. Right? He was doing fine. Rivka, Neba, Lavan, Besuel, John, terrible stuff going on. Who wanted to marry her? Who would take her into her seminary? Who would take her into her school? She couldn't sign any of the papers. What would she write? Right? Does her father wear his hat when he drives his car? Yeah, Shabbat, sure. What am I supposed to say? She grew up to be in fine Adel Madel. Yitzchak is greater. Tzadik ben Tzadik is greater. Answer is, yes it is. There's an organization in North America called NCSY. It's a cure of organization for public for high school kids. Every city's a little different. The one in Toronto, the one in Canada, right, unlike the one in the United States, is cure for public school kids. Not yeshiva kids that are stickle off, mamish public school kids, fry kids, Jewish kids that never learn public school. Right? It's a cure of organization. So many times I've spoken, they do Shabbatonim, and right, and you get on Shabbos, you get 400 or 500 kids. Many of them never saw Shabbos before. They never saw Hanukkah snares. They never heard Kiddush, Gornish, nothing. Nice kids. They don't know anything. So I did a Shabbaton for NCSY. Once go out in Toronto, and I made a presentation Shabbos night and Shabbos morning by davening. I spoke again, and da-da-da. Right, it's coming, Shabbos Suda, and I'm standing by where we're going in to eat the Suda, and I'm standing there with Rabbi Black, the director of the organization, and a girl comes running up to me, right, and she goes, right, Feigenbaum, right, Feigenbaum, guess what? Guess what? I said, what? She said, you know what? I'm having a gila. I'm having a gila. I said, what are you talking about? She said, you know, have an agila, have an agila. And I said, like, what's she saying? He said, I have no idea. I said, I'm having an agila is a song, and I'll have an agila. No, 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 I'm having an agila. And I said, oh, I got it. You're shomer nagia. She goes, right. The only Jewish girl in her public school. She chose to wear a skirt, and she's shomer nagia. All the boys come over, you do it. No. So look, I'm Orthodox Jewish girl. I don't do that. I mean Orthodox. She showed me her home is Teref Goma. Do you know what we did for that girl? Shabbos Suda. We had her stand up and we said, this is, I don't remember what her name is, the Christ Rachel. The only Jewish girl in her public school. Do you know that she wears a skirt every day? She showed me the Gia boys come over and says, no, I don't shake your hand, no, Gornish, no. And you know what everybody did? They gave her a standing ovation. A hero. Only Jewish kid in the public school wears a skirt. Doesn't touch. Chanel's a four. When I speak to, I spoke to girls from Golden Green yesterday. I was in the Stamford Hill. Told the exact same story. I said, Chanel's a four. You go over to your Menaheles. Can I speak to you? Sure. Shefala. What can I do for you? Well, I want, you know what? I just want to tell the Menaheles. You know what? I decided, you know what? I'm going to wear a skirt now. What's the Menaheles going to say? Now you're going to wear a skirt? Like what has he been doing? How are kids supposed to be a hero? Tzadik ben Tzadik is greater than Tzadik ben Russia. Because a Tzadik ben Russia, as hard as it is for that girl to put on a skirt among a bunch of goyim in public school, even harder is for us to get to the base of Mendesh a few minutes early in daven with Kavuna. As hard as it is for her to time Bishomer Kashris, it's harder for a 16-year-old good Beis Yaakov girl to change a conversation at a lunch table or to turn down an outfit which is not exactly so. What exactly is going to happen? I told the girls yesterday, I said, you want to be a hero? Your mother gives you one of those compliments. You know what a mother compliment is? Shafila, you did such a nice job clearing the table. Next word is, but, kills them. So here's what you do. In your head, you want to tell off your mother. Be a good girl, you would never say it. So here's what you do. You tell your mother, Ima, Mommy, whatever you call her, said, listen, I'm going to tell you what I wanted to say. I wanted to say, and I didn't say it. Ain't that great? You're not going to do that. Tzadik Masadik is harder. Tzadik ben Russia, Shomer Shabbos. decided to keep Shabbos. I tell my people in the morning, I'm sorry, it's 2 o'clock, it's Friday afternoon, I'm going home. What are you going home? We have a business meeting. Shabbos. You feel, Shabbos. What are you going to do? You're going to home and tell your wife, you know what? Today I thought it was someone else's favorite kavana.
Goyach.
We have talisim that never slip anymore. Our tefillin have never been more square. We don't have to spend 5 hours looking for hadassim and shalashim. They're prepackaged. What's left? So what are we supposed to do? Echmin Hashomer Shabbos. Yeah. Echmin Hashomer Kashris. Yeah, which after? What are you going to do? Where are you going to grow? It was Rav Aaron Feldman Shlita, Rosh Yeshiva of Bnei Yisrael in Baltimore, who said at a Torah Masorah convention, we've raised a generation of children who are very observant, but they're not very religious. Their skirts are all long. They know Thirdai Malachas. Everyone here, we've had said Talis Fillin, there's Lulav and Esrog. When I grew up, Lulav and Esrog. The Rav had a Lulav and Esrog. I grew up in a little town, Cleveland, Ohio. Rav had a Lulav and Esrog. A couple of Gvirim had a Lulav and Esrog. Today, your 11-year-old boy doesn't have a Lulav and Esrog. He might not accept into yeshiva. What kind of family is this? 11-year-old kid doesn't have a Lulav and Esrog. We are forced to go tzaddik ben tzaddik struggles because the decisions and the growth that he has to make is on nuances and putting passion into what you've been doing your whole life anyways. Small areas that no one's ever going to say, wow, Moira Dick Stelzach Ford used to be some, you know, mafiosi gangster, that now's a rov and a mikiruv, and wow, what a cool, interesting guy. You're a nice guy. Your father was chashuv, you're chashuv, You know more chashuv than anybody else in the basement. And that's ikvus of the Mashiach. Why is it called ikvus of the Mashiach? Akev is the heel. Heel is where you don't feel. You can step on things. You don't feel anything with your heel. We're a generation where we're doing. We're walking and walking and walking and stepping. We got it. We're dressed and we got it. We own it. Buy the Hashem and Alzding and Shabbos lights and Shabbos switches and Shabbos pajamas and the Chavesos. We got everything you want. But we don't feel anything. Shteitan Pasuk Yidei Yamin Baimin, our days that are coming. Talking about the Yimaisa Mashiach, the end of days, Ikvus and Mashiach, and Shlach Yerav, all this is going to be a famine, and the land Yerav, and the Lechem Yerav, and the Lechem Yerav, not a famine for bread, not a famine for water, Kim Yishmaya, it's Divrei Hashem. I apologize, Moshe Weinberg wrote, quoted a Talmud of the Gemara, I don't remember who it was, who said, what's Chad in the Pasuk? What's Chad in the Pasuk? He says, Lechem and Mayim is always a catchphrase for Torah and Mitzvot. He said, "He neyamin bayim like oh, a lechem like some of our mind. There won't be a raw for lechem. We're going to do taira. We're going to keep mitzvahs. We have tefillin. We have aksherim. We have everything we want. We have five kosher bacon bits. Look at the advertising for hotels for Pesach. We got chassidim shishrit. I don't know why chassidim chef better than Linsfish. I'm personally insulted by those advertisements, but it's all right. We have chassidim shishrit. Chol of Yisrael, non gebrachs. You have Mickey Mouse at your Pesach seder. You got it all." We're doing it all. What are we hungry for? We're not hearing Divrei Hashem. We don't feel passion or growth. We don't feel like we're getting anywhere. Are your kids excited about the Yiddishkeit? Or do you run your Shabbos table because you're a frustrated Rashiva who never got a good cheer, so you got to be promised like a Rebbe somewhere so your kids suffer and you force them to be your Hasidim? That's our generation. What do we do about it? Let me give you a sod from a Dessler, the Kudus HaBechira. I don't believe anybody can be a real a Ben or Bas Aliyah without knowing this. We teach this to our 16-year-olds in school. To understand it, you're going to have to use your imagination. I'm going to teach you like I teach in my school. I'm going to pretend that you're 16-year-old girls. I teach same way to boys. You have to use your imagination. I apologize. Okay? Everybody, all those that are listening, if you're driving, just keep your hands on the wheel, okay? Use your imagination, though. Don't just think, but watch the road. I want you to imagine like this. I want you to imagine that I have just died. In my high school, this goes over really well, okay, folks? I have just died. Up I go to Beis Din Shel Ma'alot. There's the Abishur, the Malachi Asher, it's all standing that I'm standing in front of Kisiyah Kavod, and the Abishur looks to me and says, Feigenbaum Neutral, tell me something good you've done on this earth. I said, good I've done on this earth? I did a lot of good. You know what, Abishur? I was the very man of Zara. I never took a little getchka and put it on the floor and bowed down. It was like, didn't bow down to any idols. You know what the Abishur would say to me? He would say, Feigenbaum, That's very nice, but no one really does that anymore today. How about something else? So I said, okay, I can do something else. Kashrus, Bozo Mechalov. I said, you know what, Abishter? You know, in America, they had these big McDonald's and big cheeseburgers, right? Look, I said, you know what? I never ate a cheeseburger. You know what Abishter would say to me if I would tell him, you know what? I never ate a cheeseburger. Abishter would say, Feigenbaum, that's very nice, but I created you lactose intolerant. You couldn't eat a cheeseburger even if you wanted to. How about something else? Says Rav Dessler, we are judged subjectively, not objectively. Subjectively, not objectively. I'm a Sharma Shabbos. I chose to keep Shabbos. I never chose to keep Shabbos. When did I ever choose to keep Shabbos? I lose my job if I didn't keep Shabbos. I never chose to keep Shabbos. My father, Olam Shalom, was born in Cleveland, Ohio in the 19... He was born in 1907. And he grew up and he went to Ohio, and they didn't like Jews in Cleveland, Ohio in 1907. And he went to Ohio State University, the University of Columbus, Ohio, where they like didn't even last. And he gets there and he finds out all the examinations are on Saturday. And he looks at his friends and says, the examinations on Shabbos, what are you going to do? And they look at him and say, Feigenbaum, it's the 1920s. You got to get with the program. Just write the exam. It'll be okay. This is America. Move along. And he said, no, what are you talking about? It's Shabbos. He wrote a senator, wrote his congressman, made a petition to the president of the university, got the entire examination schedule changed for the entire Ohio State University. No examinations on Saturday. He chose to keep Shabbos. I never chose to keep Shabbos. Do I get scarred for keeping Shabbos? Yes, I do. I kept Shabbos. I'm getting there. You know, Kosher Barucho, I kept Shabbos. You didn't keep Shabbos. I kept Shabbos for you. I had you born to a normal family, sent to yeshiva. You enjoyed Shabbos. I didn't know anybody who wasn't Shomer Shabbos. So I have no struggles? As I told the girls, you think because I'm an old guy with a gray beard, I got no struggles? I have struggles. I have Satan in my house. It does not look like a little red guy with a pitchfork and a little red tail. It looks like the snooze button on my alarm clock, but it's Satan. My alarm goes off and the snooze button says, push me. And I say, no, I can't do that. I got to get chilled. I put on my towels, feeling it. That's no. You're very tired. You sleep a little more, you'll dive in more kavana. You'll catch all the red lights. They never start on time. Daganish. I said, oh, you're right. Shh, go back to sleep. Bob goes off against the push. Susan says, push. He said, no, I really got going now. He said, listen, don't you tell your Talmidos better to dive in a little less with kavana than more without kavana. Besides, I said, you're in the middle of a girl's school. If you're overtired, maybe you'll be cranky. What if a girl goes off the derrick because you're not nice to her? You need to sleep a little more. I said, oh, you're right. Psh, go back to sleep. Long goes off a few minutes later, as soon as his push, I said, no, that's it, finish with you, get out of bed, I make every red light, I get to shul, there's some guy in his yard sign, he starts 2 minutes early, davening like a rocket ship, I have to skip Adam through the gym, I rush to my towels to fill up a lousy davening, I get to Shemayim, I'm finished. What am I going to tell a Kodesh Baruch Hu? I put on tefillin and I daven. He said, Feigenbaum, you put on tefillin and daven? You didn't put on tefillin and daven. I put on tefillin and daven. I had you born in a normal family again. Of course you put on tefillin and daven. You wouldn't think of not putting on tefillin and daven. All I wanted from you was get there 5 minutes early, and you did it. I'm finished. So what happens when I do get there 5 minutes early and I have a really nice slow davening? What am I going to do? Go into school that day and say, girls, we're having a special assembly. Go over the microphone in the school. Get everybody into the auditorium. I stand up. This is our Rabbi. Girls, I want you to know that I thank him today. Got to show 5 minutes early and David like a man. So go, yay, man, I thank him. They're not going to do that. That's not going to happen. I'm going to tell my wife I got to show a few minutes early. That's very nice, but you forgot to take out garbage on your way out. That's not going to, what am I going to get? Tzaddik ben tzaddik, you're judged subjectively, not objectively. Listen to a poet. The Gevalt forth from the altar, says Rav Dessler. Lovus saved from stone. Why does Lovus save from stone? Says impossible. His Karl Kim is Avram. Kadosh Baruch Hu remembered Avram and he saved Lot. Ask Rashi on the spot. What do you mean Kadosh Baruch Hu remembered Avram and he saved Lot? He remembered Lot and he saved Lot. He remembered Avram and he saved Lot. Says Rashi, ha ha, what's so saved Lot? Oh, by Avram. Avram told everybody, didn't do me a taiva. Tell everybody that so is my sister. Lot knew the truth. You know what Lot could have done? Could have gone to Paro and said, Paro, you like Sarah? Here's the plan. The old guy, it's really your husband. Kill him. I'm Mishpacha. You want to marry her? We can negotiate. I'll give you a price. You pay. She's yours. Should have made a lot of money. He would have involved killing Avram and selling Sarah to a sugar and manuva like Paro. But he could have made a lot of money. And he didn't do it. That's saved him. Asked the elder, that saved him? What are you talking about? He had a much bigger schluss. Two strangers come to town. He doesn't know that they're malachim. Everybody surrounds the house. If the malachim were to blind everybody in stone, they would have killed him. Meister, nefesh, rachnos, asorchim for two perfect strangers. Isn't that a much greater mitzvah than not getting a rum kill so he could sell Sorah to a baro? Says the altar, yes, objectively that's much greater, but subjectively for Lot it was not a struggle. He grew up in the house of Avraham Avinu. Achnas Sorkin was second nature, first Tetzach, that's what you do with it without even thinking. Even for Mesiris Nefesh, it wasn't hard for him. So it's a mitzvah. But that's me, the schluss that saved him, that raised his spiritual level, that made him, gave him a connection to the Abishim, that raised his level of Ruchnias, that made his neshama something pulsating and powerful. No, he did it because he did it. Money was his struggle. Nebuch, embarrassing to say in public, he really contemplated killing Avram and selling Sarah. Nebuch is embarrassing, he should even think of such a thing. But it was his struggle. He conquered it. That's what saved him from Sodom. We all have our struggles. I don't know who you are. When I talk to the girls, I spoke to girls, Stanford Hill, Gold is Green, I'm going back to Stanford Hill today. I tell them, we're all the same. Right? We're all the same. You struggle with getting to shul a little early. I struggle with God knows what. I struggle with things that I can't tell my menahelis because if I tell her I'm struggling with it, she'll throw me out of school. I tell my parents I won't even understand what I'm talking about. They don't even know what it works or what it is. They don't know the words I'm saying. Once I tell them they're going to lock me in my room and they're going to turn off the electricity and I'll never see the light of day again. So who am I supposed to talk to? They'll kill me. It's the same thing. So you're struggling with things and no one will ever patch on the back and say, hoo-hoo, kvaltik. What are you going to do? Tell your 8 o'clock. I tell my girls all the time. My generation, my father's generation struggled with keeping Shabbos. Your generation struggles with being bored on Marcy Shabbos. You know what the Nafkamina is? My father, when he would talk to his 8 o'clock, and he would say, oh, Zadie, tell us again how you couldn't get a job, but you couldn't get a job, you had to drive a gasoline truck, he used to blow up, and he did it because he got on Shabbos, da da da, it was hard, his mother, that. Well, he had started that. What are you going to tell your 8 o'clock? Oh, Bobby, tell us again how you stayed home and you were bored on Marcy Shabbos. Tell us the website you didn't go to. Tell us about the cell phone you owned that you didn't tell your parents about, then you got rid of. That's so exciting. What are they going to say? And what are you going to say? What story are you going to tell anybody? Whoa, I was Meister Nefesh, and and I passed by that restaurant, went to the one with the other Heksher. That's our battles. That's Sadik ben Sadik. That's Ikvus of the Mashiacha. You have to celebrate your small battles. You have to compliment your kids on their small battles. Don't let them go through life where all they ever hear is, that's very nice of you, Ben, but it could have been a little slower. That's all they hear. Where's going to be their energy? Where's going to be their passion? Best compliment I ever got in all my years of chinuch. Every year I go to Eretz Yisrael to visit my students. They go to seminary in Eretz Yisrael, so I go to Eretz Yisrael every winter. And we make a reunion. I talk to them. We schmooze, talking about their plans. We have married girls there already. We have a whole gotz get together. Gold came over and she said, "Ray Feigenbaum, I want to thank you." I said, No, I want you to listen, please. I want to thank you for letting me make dumb mistakes, but never making me feel dumb that I made them. Kids make mistakes. We make mistakes. What'd you do that for? I don't know, I wasn't thinking. You know what she should, and you say, what's the matter with you? You know what she should say back to you? Didn't your doctor say you're supposed to cut down on cholesterol when we're eating eggs for breakfast for? I don't know, I wasn't thinking. I say at their wedding, when you're eating chocolate by the Viennese table because mommy wasn't looking. You just went to the doctor. You don't know, but I'll teach you biology. I learned in school. Here's numbers, here's sugar, here's how it works. You don't get it? You don't know pshat? I know pshat. What am I doing eating chocolate? I wasn't thinking. We all do the same thing. That's a struggle. We make dumb mistakes. They make dumb mistakes. They're not all to make dumb mistakes. They're not human. They're just growing. Celebrate their mistakes. Shevi pol tzadik v'kam. How do you become a tzadik? You become tzadik by falling down. Tzadikim are not people because they don't fall. They're tzadikim because they get back up. Meister Shahaya, I was doing a program in the Beis Yaakov in North America. I had a Shabbaton. They asked me to speak. Masi Shabbos, the Menahel said, can you do a program for the teachers? I said, sure. And she said, before you start, I want to ask you a question. She gave me a whole drasha, how her girls are sheltered in Baruch Hashem. Can I know her? They don't know if they have a tzitzach in the veld. And over Shabbos was apparent that was clearly not true. Right? And She says, it would appear that you believe that our girls are struggling with the music. I said, yeah. She said, well, how come they never talk to me about it? I said, you're in front of your entire staff. How honest would you like me to be? She said, no, tell me the honest truth. I said, I'll tell you the honest truth. I said, a girl comes in and tells us, I have a problem with music, and you talk to her, When you see her the next day in the hallway, she's going to, why are you going to look at her? You're going to be disappointed. She tried, I never would have thought. So of course, that's what we're going to feel. So why would she talk to you? She doesn't want her menahelis to be disappointed with her. So she's never going to talk to you. And I know your nature, you don't have the ability not to be disappointed. She said, well, what should I feel? You should be proud that she's struggling and growing. Give her a kiss. She's the best kid in the school because she's a bas aliyah. If your children, if you have open communication in your house, you don't just listen, I have a friend. I know we had her house. If you're watching, that a little uncomfortable. Don't say, what? Which friend? I'm going to call him up. It's not the response. Give her a kiss. My ridiculous. I'm so proud of you that you have sensitivity. There are kids that are out there, but good for you. You told me. I'm so proud of you. Come, let's go out. We'll go for a coffee. Let's discuss it. It must be very difficult. Those movies are probably very fun. But you know, Mama's for Bas Yisrael. You're not even happy with yourself. Are you? Da-da-da-da-da. Don't respond. Who she is, I don't want you ever to talk to her again. Why should you ever confide in you and talk to you? So what do we do? What stops us? End story. And then let's answer our question about Yosef. I got 4 minutes. I was in Dallas, Texas. There was a convention. It was a convention of the Union of Messianic Hebrew Congregations of America. You know what a Messianic Hebrew Congregation is? Jews for Yashka. Right? They have conventions. They're Jewish, all right? Right? They didn't invite me to speak. I was there with a group of organization called Jews for Judaism, which is an anti-missionary group. They rented out rooms in the same hotel. We were sitting Matzei Shabbos and talking to the fellow who was the chazan of the host Messianic Jews for Yashka congregation in Dallas. By the way, you know what the name of that congregation is? I promise you, honest story. It was Congregation Baruch Hashem, which for a guy who says Baruch Hashem a lot, literally, like, made my next few weeks difficult. We're sitting and we're talking to him. And it ended up being a debate between him and Rabbi Skobek, an expert in anti-missionary activity. And he said, well, look at the Bible, it says this, and Rabbi Skobek says, but it says this, and but how about that? Like a fencing match, back and forth, and back and forth, and he's retreating. Bible says this, and it says that, how about this, but it says that. He's going, and finally, but look at this. Rabbi says, look at that. And I said, we won. He closes his Bible, says, we won. He closes his Bible, gets up and says, gentlemen, I cannot continue this conversation. I'm wearing concrete shoes. My wife's not Jewish. My job is the executive vice president of this organization. I'm a professor at Messiah College. Tells it for it, that is. I'm wearing concrete shoes. Goodbye. I said, wait, you can't do that. We won. We wear concrete shoes, Rabbi Sai, we sell ourselves short, it's not me, it's not my family, it's not it, never was like that, I can't, daven with kavanah, I daven the best, I can't get a little earlier, I can't find another few minutes to do chesed, I can't find another few minutes to learn, I can't calm my temper, I can't, that's not me, I can't. We wear concrete shoes, Yosef got out of prison on Rosh Hashanah, you know why we don't grow, because we put ourselves in prisons, we lock ourselves up and say, this is who I am, this is what I do, this is how I daven, this is the shuck I give, this is the chesed I do, this is about as honest as I'm ever going to be in business. And children, it's just the way it is. David sure will understand. I don't know. I don't speak for him. So I'm going to be a little dishonest in business. And David Rosh Hashanah, he should give me money, even though I don't do what he says, but he should do what I say. I don't understand how that works. And I'll lie through my teeth to get a chisel for my daughter, even though our boy knows near Sierra Savada was decided past Ploni Laploni. But David sure understands that you got to lie to do these things. And he understands you got to work on Shabbos. I don't understand how he understands. It's not what I understand, David sure understands. We create prisons for ourselves. And you can go from being in prison to the viceroy of Egypt overnight. All you're going to do is try. That's what El and Lashon is all about. Breaking out of our prisons. Breaking out of our preconceived ideas. Breaking out of a Yiddishkeit which is based on looking over our shoulders and seeing what everybody else does. And creating a Yiddishkeit which looks good in the eyes of everybody else and looks good in the eyes of our children, and they can smell hypocrisy a mile away. So don't tell them to learn Torah, learn Torah. Don't ever tell them your skirt's not long enough. When your wife made her skirts a little longer, you told her, you know, it's not so pretty, maybe shorten it. That happened, I hear this from girls all the time. That's how we do it. My bracha to you all. I want to sin the house of Hashem all days of my life. Levaker bikur to visit. Does David HaMelech want to sit, or does he want to be bikur, or does he want to visit? Was it between someone who's a citizen and someone who's a bikur, or visitor, a resident, a tourist? I'm a tourist. You know what I did? One of the highlights of my trip so far, I went into one of those English taxis. My wife wants to take a picture. I said, do me a favor. We look like so stupid. We're taking a picture. Right, so I would like all the picture books. It's black. We sat in the back. It was my dick. I said, wow, it's so cool. It's just like I read about in the books. I'm a tourist. You've gone into taxi cabs. I'm sure it was nothing exciting. I went into an English taxi cab. It was a highlight of my trip. It was the most fun thing I did in England so far. Right? I was like, wow, it's so English. Right? When you're a tourist, everything's exciting, everything's new, everything's fresh. All the days of my life but should always be like a tourist. It should always be exciting. It should always be fresh. It should always be something new. It should always be something memorable. If that's the Yiddishkeit that you have, it's the Yiddishkeit your children will have, and we'll all be zeichet to a good Ben Shtior. Thank you very much.
Thanks.